From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 25th day of May 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds will be here to discuss things down on the farm and the cash grain situation. And then as we wrap up our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast too with Mike Tenora, T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Along the way, we'll recap the Trump administration's budget plan for the United States Department of Agriculture and how it was defended, relatively speaking, yesterday on the Hill by Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue. And it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Well, it looks like we're going to get just what the doctor ordered finally. I see that sunshine is coming, but before that, we're getting warmer temperatures, so that should help the crop out just a bit. And in Chicago, it seems like they've gotten that message.
Yeah, May 20th has come and gone, and at May 20th, the trade has basically looked around the Corn Belt or the growing region, and yes, we've got some replanting problems. We've maybe lost a few acres here and there. But for the most part, the trade feels that we're off to a reasonably good start. Now, I suppose there's a lot of people going to argue with me on that, but it's a good enough start for now. Now, with all of our problems that we've had with replanting and maybe reduced yield potential because of late planting and maybe this and that, that's all going to be argued later on in the growing season. But for now, the main focus was basically to get the crop planted. And like you mentioned, you know, get a little warmer temperatures, get some sunshine, and then we'll begin to analyze crop rating levels as we go through, the last week of May here, and then we go on into June. The trade will keep an eye on crop rating levels, and then everybody will begin to project potential yield based upon those crop rating levels and this and that. So that's kind of where we're at. Corn is still considered in a sideways market. It looks at maybe soybeans might be breaking out to the downside. However, as I say that, some of my short-term cyclical work I had today is kind of a short-term low in soybeans, give or take a day or two. So I think a lot of this is maybe some liquidation going into a three-day weekend. We'll come out of a three-day weekend next Tuesday, and then we'll see, you know, what's on tap for weather. But for the time being, the trade feels that the U.S. crop is off to a good enough start that they don't need to worry about it. Over on the demand side, with the weakness in the Brazilian real, exporters are pretty well locked into South America inventories for the time being. And so it doesn't look like we're going to get a lot of export activity, at least in the near term. It's all going to go to South America. I suppose the trade, depending upon how month of June goes, we'll wait on the BIC report at the end of June, which will give us grain stocks, and then it'll give us a planting number, which will probably be there'll be a lot of anticipation on that. I mean, as a rule, acres grow from the March report, but given the weather adversities of extreme wetness in many areas of the Corn Belt, the acres may not have grown. and maybe they've tucked in some. So, but that'll be the next big thing the trade will be watching. And then we just, you know, basically go into July and August weather and see how that treats the crop. But for right now, I know a lot of farmers are probably disgusted that the market is not responding to the upside. But we've got a lot of old crop inventory around. And even with a below trend line yield, we're going to have a lot of old crop. We're going to have a lot of new crop inventory around. So that pretty well says it, that it's a supply driven market. And as long as supplies are large, it'll be very difficult to get this market to respond to the upside, at least in the near term.
So I know right about now, most folks are thinking, hey, I've got old crop corn yet to sell. And I was hoping that I could get it sold in the month of June, probably, or at least in the summer months. They don't have very much time left to do that. What are the prospects, do you suppose, for corn over the next 30 days?
The sideways market, as long as we can hold in the sideways market, and if we are definitely going to have reduced corn acres, and, you know, the way things are shaping up, that we'll have a below trend line yield. But July and August will have a lot to say about that. Probably my guess is that watching the corn market is going to be like watching paint dry. I think there's enough demand underneath it to hold the lows, but there's enough supply on top of it to keep it from really busting to the upside unless we get an adverse weather pattern to take hold sometime here during the first couple weeks of June. I'm, you know, still watching the sunspots, and my guess is that it's going to be a cool summer, and maybe the next issue will be crop maturity, and that could be an issue as we go into the fall, because then that makes the crop subject to an early frost, just like we had some late frost this spring and a winter snowstorm in Kansas. So I still think cool weathers, cool temperatures, lack of growing degree days, and the potential for an early frost are all issues, but those are highly speculative, and the trade is going to pretty well trade what they see out in the field right now, and they'll take a look at crop rating levels and see how we go from here.
So really what you're telling me, I think, and you told us this way back in March at the All Day Ag Outlook, that $3.50 cash price is a price we might want to consider.
Yeah, all of my cyclical work indicated that if we were going to have any major price rally in corn, and that's the same way with soybeans, that it's going to be more toward the last half of the growing season or the calendar year than the first half. And we still got another month or so yet, the first half yet. Then we'll see what summer weather brings us, and we'll see what September weather brings us. But all my cyclical work would indicate that the greatest opportunities for price rallies were going to come in the last half of 17, more so than in the first half of 17.
So we'd have to wait it out for the old crop, and we may not very well be able to do that. For new crop, how much of an upside potential? We've got a long ways to go between now and then.
Yeah, we got a long ways to go, especially on corn. The only thing that makes me a little uneasy, wanting to be a little friendly corn, that seems to be where everybody's at. They want to be friendly corn and bearish beans. So everybody's in the same frying pan, and I guess we'll see how that works. But corn, like I said, I think there's enough demand underneath it to hold it, but there's enough old crop supply around to keep it from going any place unless we get into severe weather. Beans are going to be heavy simply because of the large South American crop and their currency advantage, at least in the near term, as far as grabbing export business away from the United States.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again in 1 week.
Very well.
All right, that's Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, you know, the deep cuts to the nation's agricultural support programs proposed by the Donald Trump administration this week have put Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue in something of an awkward position with both lawmakers and farm groups. A good example of this is the plan to cut funding for trade promotion programs and to eliminate more than 230 jobs geared toward boosting U.S. exports. Those proposed cuts follow a promise from the secretary that the administration would focus on expanding foreign market access to help farmers. Well, the plan also proposes to cut $193 billion from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, over the next decade. However, that idea runs completely opposite of comments that Perdue made about SNAP before the House Agriculture Committee that said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Connecticut's Rosa DeLauro asked Perdue if he stood by his earlier statement defending SNAP, even as the White House proposed cutting food stamps.
Do you still feel those words to be true?
Absolutely.
Okay. The reason I ask is because the statement is not at all aligned with the administration's proposal to completely gut the food stamp program.
Perdue insists FY18 SNAP is fully funded, while the White House proposes legislation to shift some cost to the states in later years. Now, on ending the taxpayer-funded Food for Peace program that buys U.S.-produced food to donate overseas, and instead making simple cash donations, Chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, Robert Adderholt, said that made simply no sense to him and reminded Perdue that it went nowhere when the Obama White House had proposed it.
Mr. Chairman, I think your comments are essentially irrefutable, and I think, again, I would agree with you that we would love to have U.S.-produced commodities, U.S.-processed commodities to provide jobs here in order to fulfill our humanitarian mission.
Here's one Perdue did stand by: the White House cuts on rural housing, infrastructure, agency staffing, and a 10-year, $29 billion cut in producer crop insurance subsidies.
They'd rather have high prices than support in crop insurance or payments. So that's what we hope to do, and that was really the genesis behind our emphasis on trade and the Undersecretary of Trade.
But even in disagreeing, Perdue was pretty agreeable, reflecting his long political experience as governor and a state lawmaker in softening disputes, diffusing controversy, and perhaps helping a controversial president advance a very tough proposition. That proposition would be shrinking the federal government. And that's a look at today's Ag News. Despite the wet weather many think may be causing nitrogen fertilizer to get away from corn plants, it's still far too early to make that decision. While it seems likely some nitrogen fertilizer has moved out of the upper soil as a result of rainfall this year, University of Illinois agronomist Emerson Napsiger says if soils dry out, the torrential rains stop, the sun shines, and weather gets warmer, well, things should be all good.
The crop's going to tell us this, and if by the middle of June, you know, some fields have really greened up nicely and others have not, then we might need to think about those that haven't, and is there enough nitrogen missing there that's causing that to take place? My suspicion is that we're not going to see very much of that at all. And if we're warm and dry and with sunshine for a week, I think the crop is going to look good in almost every field.
One indication the topsoil has not been stripped clean of nitrogen is the good recovery of green leaf color. And Napsiger says as soils dry out, root systems start to expand and the color will change. He explains the corn crop at this point looks like it does, not because of a lack of N, but due to the cool temperatures and abundant rainfall. While it's premature to revise nitrogen management based on what's happened so far, Napsiger also cautions it cannot yet be ruled out.
I would be very reluctant to make a decision now that we need to go put more nitrogen on, especially if we've put the full amount on. If we still need to side dress and we add 10 or 15 or 20 pounds to that, I don't have a problem with that. But I think it's premature to decide that so much of the nitrogen is gone that we put out there that we need to go back and plan to put more on at this point.
The good news is there's still time to make such decisions. The corn crop takes up barely 1 pound of N per acre for every inch of growth it makes, up to about knee-high. Nitrogen deficiency develops over time, and Nafziger says it's almost always more related to current soil moisture than to the amount of nitrogen in the soil. So if fields aren't extra wet or extra dry over the next month, the season could still turn out to be much more typical than many now expect. We're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. We're now joined by Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
So last week, we know that you had replanted actually quite a bit of corn. It's been pretty cool. I have my doubts that it's up, but maybe it is. Can you give me an update on what is happening on the farm?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's going to make it up. It's not all up by any means. I've seen a little bit of it spiking, but, you know, this cool weather has actually not been the worst thing. If we would have gotten a lot of heat and a lot of sun, we probably would have kind of baked the ground where we had some of that rain last weekend. So I don't feel too bad about the weather scenario. I'd like to see a little warm up just like everyone else. If we do get a warm up, probably going to need a little bit of a shower, which it doesn't look like we're going to be hurting for that either. So I think it's going to go ahead and make it up. How it's going to turn out is anybody's guess, obviously. We've had plenty of challenges early on.
What's cash grain basis been acting like in your area?
Well, you know, it actually has firmed up just a little bit. I think, you know, whenever you get into spring planting time frame, guys aren't moving much bushels. This year, guys aren't moving much bushels. You know, the market's just deader than a doornail, and obviously you still need some cash movement. And so they've had to bump the bid just a little bit to get it out of the farmer's hands. And so, you know, this market just really hasn't given us a whole lot on the future side of it, and basis has happened to do some of the work. So, you know, basis isn't phenomenal, but it sure is pretty good for the kind of crop we had last year.
Do you think we'll see more appreciation over the next month?
Well, it all depends on what the market's going to do. You know, if this market stays this drab, you'll probably see more basis appreciation. I have a hard time believing we're just going to continue to ignore what's going on in the broad spectrum of the Corn Belt, especially the Eastern Corn Belt. You know, you've just got major weather issues. The funds don't seem to be too interested in even looking at this story. But the bottom line is, you know, you're going to really struggle to get to 90 million acres this year, and I cannot imagine that we can get to 170.7 without absolutely ideal conditions this summer.
Last year, we started a run-up that was based on what was happening in Brazil and the safrinha, or second crop corn there. This year, it's in good shape. Has that been built into the marketplace?
Yeah, I think for the most part, it's kind of kept a lid on prices. We have to remember the bean market was, had been pretty strong since early March. And so the corn market was quite late to join the party. And then whenever corn finally started rallying, it was a fairly short-lived rally, you know, based upon that safrinha crop, as you mentioned. So, you know, this year, it seems like everyone wants to see the corn market rally. There's a lot of reasons to see the corn market rally, but bottom line is it's just a drab market. You know, there's not much volatility, not much going on whatsoever. A day like today, you know, you take the beans down the dime. I think if you wouldn't have that kind of pressure, I think that the corn market would have held its own quite nicely, but it's pretty tough to in the face of a dime drop in the bean market.
Hey, we don't have very many seconds left. Are your beans up?
Most of them are up. We're actually spotting a few in today. My dad's working on that. So, we definitely still waiting on some of these beans. They've been pushing for several weeks. So I think they're
done. All right. Hey, thanks much, Matt, and good luck putting those in.
Thank you.
That's Matt Bennett. This is the Closing Market Report for a Thursday afternoon, the 25th day of May. We're now joined by Mike Tenura. He's at T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us. It's been pretty cold and wet both. Do we have any changes coming?
We do have some changes on the way, but it's going to take a little bit to get there. We do have some more showers that will linger in the Eastern Corn Belt through tonight, and then we deal with a few more thunderstorm clusters over the weekend. Those occur mainly along and south of Interstate 80, starting up tonight, but really more so Friday into Saturday and Sunday. So a few more thunderstorm clusters, pretty much in areas that don't need it. That gets us through the weekend when it does warm up a little bit, but keep in mind those temperatures, they don't stay too warm for too long because we cool right back down for the first half of next week.
Anything beyond that that you're able to tell us yet?
Well, it should be drier for the most part next week. We don't see a whole lot of rain once we get into Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. So a little bit drier then, but keep in mind it will be a little bit cool. Highs in the 60s and 70s, lows generally in the 40s, 50s. So say 5 to 8 degrees below normal for a few days. After that, though, it does warm up quite a bit. So we won't be dealing with this coolness once we get into the end of next week and next weekend. So June will start out pretty nicely as far as temperatures go, with highs in the 70s and 80s across a pretty big area.
As we close out the month of May, have you thought or taken a look back to see historically how May, maybe April, this spring actually stack up against other springtime weather conditions?
Well, you have to put the two together to see how unusual rainfall has been over the last couple of months. April and May rainfall across the U.S. Corn Belt is going to end up within the 5 to 10 wettest of the last 123 years. That's a pretty large amount of rain, with most areas having average between 9 and 10 inches over the period across the Corn Belt as a whole. So it has been pretty wet. If we look ahead and see what happened in those real wet April and May periods later in the summer, which is really what matters the most for corn and soybean farmers, it's interesting to see that many of the July and August periods were near to drier than normal, with only a handful having been wet. So odds are that we'll start to get into a drier period starting within, say, 4 to 6 weeks. So we think this wet pattern will probably come to an end. The real question then becomes, what happened with temperatures? We know that if you have a drier than normal summer with hot temperatures, that's pretty much the worst case scenario for corn and soybean production. Well, the good news for farmers is that we saw a pretty equal mix of cool, normal, and hot summers. So there's not a real strong link here between the wetness we have now and the type of temperatures we might have later in the summer. We just have a little bit of confidence that it should end up turning drier with time. So that's kind of the message to take home right now.
Hey, thanks, Mike, for taking the time with us, speaking to that today.
You're welcome, Todd, and have a great Memorial Day, and talk to you next week.
You bet. That, of course, is Mike Tenora. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this 25th day of May. Don't forget that we'll record Commodity Week this afternoon. Our panelists, and you'll be able to hear the program at willag.org by about 5 o'clock tonight, will be Bill Gentry from Risk Management Commodities, Bryce Knorr of Farm Futures Magazine, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. I'm Todd Gleason.